lowers down to 78. Tomorrow, partly sunny, heavy rain at times in the mid-90s. The heat index tomorrow expected to be at 106. Right now it's 75. Bill Hay, and I'm speaking plainly, is right now.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to another edition of I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay, in the studio. Whoa, what's going on? I'm hearing myself twice. That's working out pretty good. Am I still there? Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take a look at it from this side. It's just clipping out real low. Joni's joining us in the studio tonight.
And, you are loud.
Yeah, it is. It's coming up pretty loud. Joni is joining us in the studio, of course, and has some great guests and some topics of discussion for us. I'm going to have to I tell you what. Let me stop here for a second before it continues to get worse and try and correct this problem. For those of you that are listening and you hear us get started, you know that I'm Speaking Plainly doesn't usually ever have problems getting up and running. But we've had a couple of lightning strikes this week at the transmitter, and so a few of the things are running a little amok from an electronic standpoint. So I'm going to.
But we have Bill to the rescue.
Yeah, well, and while I'm going to the rescue, Larry is sitting at home cringing because he's wondering what Bill is possibly doing. And there we go, right there.
Is that too perfect,
Bill? Do you get union wages when
I
you
don't
do
know.
This?
I need a paycheck for that. Anyway, so,
hello.
There you go. All right, Joni, so you pop up a little bit, and there we go. We should be all back to normal now. There we go. All right, so I apologize to those of you that are out there listening that may have had a few minutes of slow start to this edition of I'm Speaking Plainly.
To be a first.
It is a first, but you know what? You got to take the good with the bad when you have these afternoon thunder showers that blow through and... Just the amount of electricity that's been in the air the last few days with these afternoon storms is absolutely amazing. Mother Nature at work, watering the plants and in some cases electrifying the buildings. Matt Schellenberg joining us in the studio tonight. I'm going to answer a few questions about some controversial topics that have just popped up on the radar screen this particular week. Hopefully we'll get some good answers from him. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255, and email bill@600wbob.com, bill@600wbob.com. Just a recap of last week, we had a young lady in here, Miss Gilman, and Dawn Gilman, yes, and got a lot of follow-on emails and hits on the Facebook page after her appearance here. They were quite surprised, first of all, that she told us live on the air how much she makes. I think that was very bold and brave of her. But then I got just as many people saying, why would she make $108,000 for running a non-for-profit that's supposed to be looking out for the needs of changing the homeless situation here in Jacksonville? And, you know, I kind of take up the idea that you can't do it for free.
Right.
But, you know, to get $2,000 plus a week, that's an awful lot of money, $2,000 a week to be the captain of a...
It's what the market will bear.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's right, though.
It's the same kind of situation that you have pointed out on numerous occasions about certain ecumenical leaders locally making $300,000.
Right. I agree with you. It is what the market will bear, except for the fact that she deals quite a bit with the government and getting grants and writing grants and things of that nature. And I wonder how much... of the grants that are received could be structured in a way to where more of the money would actually hit the road rather than hitting the wallets of the administration.
I think it would be interesting to ask Don overall what the percentage of administrative costs are versus their overall budget.
Yeah, and that governs my donations.
Right.
When I make a donation to a charitable organization, a lot of times it's based on me finding out how much of it actually hits the streets.
Right.
I used to only donate to the Fill the Boot campaign put on by the fire department for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. But after MDA treated Jerry Lewis so terribly, I don't even donate to them anymore. Not that the firemen aren't doing a good job, because they are. They're doing a great job, and I applaud them for it. But MDA treated Jerry Lewis terribly after being their flagship and their spokesperson for decades, over 50 years. And then to treat him that way was just wrong on so many levels. And here's a guy who doesn't really have any skeletons in his closet to speak of. It's not like he was one of the Weinsteins of the world that is sexually harassing young starlets. So I felt really bad. For the young lady that called in earlier today, after hearing our promotional commercial regarding Pat Boone. Pat Boone is still alive and well. He's 84 years old.
I think he lives in the Villages.
Yeah, he. It's interesting. He is. He was born here in Jacksonville. He is one of only two people that ever left Jacksonville and has become a recurring or had a recurring starring role in a television series. The other one is a young lady who was a graduate of Sandwood High School in 1979. Her name is Renee Lawless, and Renee is the star of Tyler Perry's The Haves and Have-Nots. And so...
How about the guy from JU? The guy who was a fill-in occasionally with Cheers? He was Carla's husband. He was a hockey player.
Huh? Jay Thomas.
Yeah, Jay Thomas.
It wasn't a recurring starring role. She has a recurring starring role, and Pat Boone had his own show.
Okay.
We have a lot of people. It's interesting. We have a lot of celebrities that come from around Jacksonville.
What about the young man that went to UNF that just was number two in the World Series of Poker to the tune of, I don't remember how many million dollars?
Once again, what part are we missing here? Recurring starring role in a television show.
World Series of Poker was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
A lot of people watched it.
Hope he pays taxes on that $5 million.
Well, interesting enough, I understand he lives in Orlando. Mm-hmm. He went to UNF, didn't graduate.
More details. Very good.
He had some troubles and overcame them and was successful. And
we all do.
Yep.
Everybody has a past. Nobody's singing in the choir. Not even you.
I don't sing at all.
That's probably a good thing.
Oh, most definitely.
All right. One of the reasons you're here and... Yeah, just one. One of the reasons you're here, and that is going to be to open the discussion in the next segment about some of the controversy and pushback that we're getting relative to the appointment of Terrence Freeman and Jacoby Pittman. And not so much the appointment of Jacoby, but more so the appointment of Terrence Freeman to the Council District 10 position. And I'm going to talk to you in depth a little bit in the future. This is not the first time this has happened. It will not be the last. And maybe you can shed a little light on the processes that go forth relative to living in a district, working in a district, being able to run in a district and not live there until after you're elected, those kind of comments. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that when we come back from this next break. If you'd like to talk to us too, you can, 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. We're going to step away for just a couple of minutes, and when we return, Matt Schellenberg is going to talk to us about the Berkman Plaza Hotel, which was formerly the Berkman Plaza 2 condominium. Some of the topics for discussion tonight are going to be the proposed 4 away games for the Jacksonville Jaguars and what that would do to season ticket prices and season seat attendance here in what is now the new TIAA Bank Field. So, when we get back, I hope you'll tune in and listen to us. 222-TALK, 222-8255, facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly, or bill@600wbob.com, bill@600wbob.com. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, July 25th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., it's Music by the Sea at the St. Johns County Pier Pavilion at St. Augustine Beach. Friday, July 27th at 6:30 p.m., it's Night at the Zoo, the Great Catsby at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens. And Friday, July 27th at 8 p.m., it's Don McLean in concert at the Ponte Vedra Concert Hall in Ponte Vedra Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
For more than 25 years, the potential for health improvement is seen with each patient that walks through our door. Healthcare decisions don't have to be confusing. Make Island Doctors your medical practice.
Now accepting traditional Medicare as well as Humana Gold Medicare Advantage Plan. Call Island Doctors toll-free, 877-434-4676. That's 877-434-4676 for more information or to schedule a tour.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
This was one of the funniest things ever to see Jim Clapper out there. I mean, is he still selling that awful book he wrote? Everyone's out there hawking a book now. Now, Jim, here's all we want to know. Were there other informants inside the campaign? Were there other people that you all sent inside the campaign? Lord knows who else they sent in there. They tried to say yesterday, oh, there was no one else. How do we know that? I don't trust these people farther than I can throw them.
Laura Ingram, now weekdays 9 to 11 a.m. on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening and welcome back. You're just gotcha? You're screaming in the microphone now?
That would be me.
Yeah. It's either you're whispering in the microphone or you're screaming in the microphone. It's one extreme or the other with you. And the fact that I call you out on it, just I look at you and you're so forlorn and upset about it. It's probably going to affect you all the way into the next segment, right?
Forlorn is not a word I associate with.
All right, so I tell you what, let's go, because I don't want him to languish on the lines for too long. So hang on to your comments regarding the last segment. Let's bring up Marty online. Marty, good evening and welcome to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm not going to keep you on hold like I sometimes do.
Okay, well, I mean, I have to change subject because you're talking about something else. And I want to make reference, you're talking about the appointment of the two commissioners because the two crooks were yanked off and the appointment by the governor. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. It's Terrence Freeman and Jacoby Pittman, appointed to fill those seats and appointed by a Republican governor. And there's a lot of pushback right now.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I guess this is the way we do it in St. Augustine. In the time I've been living here, we've had both a city commissioner and I'm not going to mention their name, and a county commissioner at different times basically get arrested for taking bribes, and they became residents of Club Fed. And, of course, the procedure is that the governor appoints somebody else. Now, I would hope that the governor is not being swayed. Are we saying that there's people who don't like who the governor appointed?
Absolutely.
Well, let me say this. and this is for the Democrats out there and the low voter, the low education people that Rush talks about, democracy means mob rule. And that's what's happening now, and I didn't think it would happen in Jacksonville, but it is. When a mob is saying to the governor, you better appoint who we want or else. The governor has certain roles. He has certain duties that are bestowed upon him by the charter or constitution or whatever. And when he sees fit to remove somebody for a little thing like breaking the law or whatever and appoint somebody else, that's up to him. And I don't like, I mean, you know, this is what I'm saying all along. Those three people in Jacksonville who are decent should be complaining and saying, listen, it's up to the governor. The governor replaced some crooks because they were caught with their hands in the cookie jar. And it shouldn't be anything like certain groups. Now, I can't blame it on the Hasidic population in Jacksonville. I don't think you have any. I can't blame it on the Eskimos, the midgets, the Hungarians. So it all comes back to the same group, the same demographic group all the time, and who want to practice democracy, just like they did in South Africa when they necklaced people with tires. I think it's rotten, and I think it has to stop. And all people who are decent should speak up and say to the governor, you do what you see fit because you're the governor.
Wow. All right, Marty.
Basically what?
I appreciate it. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for your comments tonight. Marty, a longtime listener and frequent caller here to the show, and he doesn't mince his words very often. Let me ask you something, Councilman Schellenberg, along those lines. Do you think that if this had not been a Republican governor appointing these two council positions, that we would have the same level of vitriol and pushback and lawsuits being filed on their competency and their eligibility?
No, I don't. I think it's strictly a party issue. And what's amazing to me, on a local level, the parties really don't have that much influence. What they're mostly interested, as an elected official in my district, they want to know the quality of life. What do you make? Why am I making Mandarin a better place by doing sidewalks, parks, doing all the things that daily life they are impacted on a daily life, including public safety? So when I go around, most people probably don't know that I'm a Republican. Well, wait a second. I'm sure they know, but I don't govern that way. The Republicans didn't vote for me. I represent 65,000 people in Mandarin. I don't represent the 15,000 people that voted for me. So I find the arguments that they have that the governor doesn't have the right to do that is disingenuous.
Hmm. Do you see? Well, I'll give you my opinion, okay. And I'll ask you whether or not you agree with it.
Okay.
I think it's going to continue to get worse as we travel further on into history, that people are going to realize that being snotty and disruptive is working. It's working now because the kinder, gentler segment of our community is just not willing to put themselves out there in order to run the risk of being on the news or offending someone. And so those people, where they're acting like the squeaky wheel, are realizing that they're getting greased all the time and they're enjoying it. And so I think that this is now the state, this is now the standard of practice for politics going forward into the future.
Well, I hope not. How about this? I have great belief that the reasonable people, the vast majority of people, are reasonable. I think if the news outlets, not necessarily this one, obviously, but if they keep on advocating or representing, going to these things, and 10 people show up or 20 people show up, that's not a crowd. And to argue that even 100 people is a crowd, and if they show up, that's at each district is 65,000 people. So 100 people, 200 people saying no is not a overwhelming response.
Not a
that
consensus.
Is about, right. And I will say this. Let me go back, because I was on the redistricting committee back in 2011, because it happens every 10 years. And this is a minority access district. And I basically, when I was proposing different changes, I said we should do away with minority access districts, because I don't think blacks should represent blacks. I don't think whites represent whites. I think when you're elected official, you represent 65,000 people. And if you're at large, you represent almost a million people. This minority access is exactly the problem that where we are now. Reggie Gaffney's district parallels Garrett Dennis's district 15 miles. This is insane. And that would be like me and Mandarin representing all the way over through Lori Boyer's district to downtown and beyond. This that they're not a community of interest. Interesting enough, I made the proposal. Anything south and east of the river are basically a compact community of interest. It's not perfectly square or round or whatever it is. But on the north side, there's four minority access. Two of them go from downtown to the Nassau County border, and two of them basically go from the north side all the way down to almost Clay County. And this is what we get because we, for back since the 60s, we do the minority access. When I made my proposal, tell me what party do you think liked my idea of having more of a community of interest versus keeping the way it is minority access?
The Democrats.
Yeah, they did. And you know why? Because it made many more districts on that side of town more competitive. And when you have competitive districts, you can't be crazy on the left or crazy on the right. That is exactly the problem we have with the state and the federal government. We block them off that only that a certain amount of people will be in that district.
And well, in the interest of affirmative action and desegregation, we in turn segregate based on appointed representation.
Well, this is interesting because colleges, the people are finally fighting back on this about affirmative action on big colleges. You can see it at Harvard. For the last 100 years, I don't know. No, I don't want to get the percent. I won't get the percentages exactly right, but the Jewish enrollment in Harvard's like been 17% for 100 years. Now this is not possible. And the Asian community are now fighting back because in California, if you looked at all the tests and everything, they should actually be better representative in the colleges in California, and they should be better represented in Harvard and Yale and all those other schools. And they're fighting back, and they're going to court saying this is discrimination to our group. And I'm so glad that they're doing it because it's insane.
Well, let's go talk to Jay on the phone. Jay has stayed on topic with Councilman Freeman. Jay, welcome to the welcome to I'm Speaking
Freeman?
Plainly.
Schellenberg. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, Jay, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I just think we ought to give the Republican black guy a chance. Everybody else that we've elected up in those districts is defalcated, run away with money, bought everything up. I mean, I go back to the 70s back into those areas, knowledge-wise, and we put a bunch of money out there. Who ended up with taking all the money was the politicians. So we got to find the Gaffney brothers and all that crap. I mean, we've been through at least 8 or 10 of them that have all been indicted for something, and it's just not getting any better, and it's a power, they've got a power pole up there that just, you got to be graph taker to get elected.
Well, I understand your position with respect to some of the things that have gone on in the past. However, I do believe that it's not really as bad as it seems. It just happens to be a terrible coincidence that some of the appointees have had a difficult time following the law, and I don't think that's going to be the case with respect to these two new appointees if they're allowed to stand.
You don't think that they have a valid argument, or do you think this to bring this up? By the way, getting a name recognition, actually, if they hadn't said anything, the chances of him may possibly getting reelected because he has no name recognition would be pretty remote. But bringing this up, people remember names and not necessarily why they remember the name. So it'd be interesting. I would like to talk to you further about this.
All right. The topic of discussion right now for this particular segment is all of the hullabaloo that exists with the appointment of Terrence Freeman to represent the constituents in District 10. When we get back, we'll talk with Councilman Schellenberg a little bit more about this and also about the new Berkman Hotel that's scheduled to open sometime in the next 2 years. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Stormy weather from Washington, D.C. through New York and the tri-state area this weekend as a rare nor'easter makes a run up the East Coast. A couple of inches of rain could be had. Some areas may even see isolated flooding. National Transportation Safety Board says it might take as long as a year to finish a report on what caused an amphibious duck boat to capsize and sink on Table Rock Lake in southwest Missouri Thursday night. 17 people out of the 31 on board died in stormy waters. Jordan Spieth shot a bogey-free third round of 6-under-65 at Carnoustie, giving him a three-way tie with the lead of the British Open with Xander Schauffele and Kevin Kisner. They are all at 9-under-204. And for Spieth, he's trying to become the first player in 10 years to win back-to-back championships at the British Open. This is SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. And it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. We are J. David Tax Law, a local law firm right here in Jacksonville. Your first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. At J. David Tax Law, only experienced tax attorneys will represent you, and our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Everybody loves this top hit. And now, for the first time, you can hear it live in person. Corinne Hawthorne will be here in Jacksonville live to perform her smash hit, Won't He Do It? It's the concert event of the summer, Corinne Hawthorne. Corinne Hawthorne, a finalist on NBC's The Voice. Now she's coming to Jacksonville. It's all happening Saturday night, July 28th. Tickets are only $15 each, so get yours now. They're on sale at the Salem Center, at Abyssinia Baptist Church, and online at jackscommunityevents.com. The concert event of the summer. Be there Saturday night, July 28th. It's Corinne Hawthorne, live in concert. So I trust him at all
times. Hi, folks. This is Martin Parlato, and I host the Lighthouse Retirement Hour right here in Jacksonville, WBOB, AM 600 and FM 101.1. Parts 1 and 2 Saturdays at noon and again Sunday morning starting at 9 a.m. Look, the annuity guys and the senior this or the senior that are out in force, and they're trying to separate you from your money. We don't sell index annuities, and we don't sell fear. Head over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com. Click the blue button to make an appointment with me, and then I can help you.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
It's coming up on 634 right now. Good evening. Tom Murphy here with you. Volume on Butler Boulevard eastbound is heavy from 95 and Belford Road out past Marsh Landing Parkway to A1A. Mostly cloudy tonight. Isolated showers down to 78. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Heavy rain at times and 95 the high. The heat index tomorrow should hit 106. It's overcast now in Jacksonville and 77 at Talk Radio WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We've got a couple of topics going, but I want to move on to something else. If you are out there and you're thinking about calling in, you're getting your thoughts together, please continue. 222-TALK, 222-8255. But, and you know as well as I do, if you've listened to me over the years, we'll go in 100 different directions. But I want to move on to something else, the Berkman Hotel. Formerly known as the Berkman Plaza, formerly known as the failed condominium garage that pancaked and killed one of the workers over 10 years ago, I believe now.
It is 10 years ago.
So my question is, they're going to take the Berkman 2 and turn it into a hotel. That concrete was the same concrete that was used to make the failed parking garage. How are they going to be able to certify for folks that are staying in that hotel as far as liability insurance that it's not going to pancake also? I wonder if anybody's thought about that.
I am pretty sure that before that construction gets started on this supposed hotel, entertainment hotel, as I understand it, they're going to do all that kind of work.
What is an entertainment hotel? Is that like one of the hotels from Reno or Las Vegas or something like
Biloxi.
That?
Biloxi.
No.
Yeah, I'm telling you what I know.
Okay.
It's one of the hotels, my understanding, is that has a hotel in Biloxi that I don't think they're going to do gambling, but they have a lot of entertainment.
Well, they can't do gambling here in the state of
Florida. Right. But they have
family entertainment.
Family entertainment, not necessarily on that block. And I think that one of the concerns that I heard through the grapevine was that they not only wanted that piece of property, but they wanted some of the shipyard's property.
What is it so big? I've been trying for 16 years to get a small portion of the shipyard's property to put in a downtown helicopter pad, which most major cities that have a thriving urban core have a downtown helicopter pad. Cincinnati, Ohio has two. Indianapolis, Indiana has three. Miami has six. Orlando has two. Atlanta has five. New York has 13.
I think it's partly is the concentration of businesses are not downtown. Now, Bill,
wait a minute. Isn't that why we're spending millions of dollars every year with the DIA in order to draw business downtown?
You know, let's talk about that. So everybody says there's infrastructure down there to handle these things. First of all, the infrastructure is probably 40, 50, 60 years old. So it needs an upgrade. Second of all, in the Brooklyn area that a lot of developments is happening, a lot of those were single-family houses, so the infrastructure could not handle the apartments and the shopping centers and the stores that are there. So everybody says there's infrastructure, and of course there is, but it's old, antiquated, and cannot be upgraded unless it's completely replaced to handle the development that's going downtown.
So it seems like that would be on a priority list as opposed to some of the developments that they're trying to attract down there, like imploding the old city hall and imploding the courthouse and then building a new convention center.
Well, I'm not on, by the way, I'm not keen on the convention center, but I do know my son went to San Antonio recently, and he spent a weekend there, and he sort of brought his family over there. And he goes, where should we go to entertain a family? And he mentioned a interactive museum, not a small one like we have, like a Museum of Science and History, but a very interactive one. And it's called Doseum, D-O-S-E-U-M. And I have mentioned this now to two dozen influential people, including Maria at Mosh. And I said, she came to see me recently. I said, you need to go there. That's what we need. And since then, people tell me, well, Austin has something like this. And literally, it is a attendance magnet. We don't need a convention center. What we need is something like this that not only does the population use, but people 200, 300 miles away, this is going to be so unique that they're going to come and they're going to spend time in a hotel to spend 2 or 3 days at the museum. We don't need, in my opinion, I am not convinced a convention center is going to be, and I don't really want it on the river. Where the convention center should have been 25 years ago, it's the beach. We blew it. Now, what do we do now? We need to be thinking not outside the box. Maybe there shouldn't be a box, but we should be thinking that there's got to be a better way in which bring people on a constant basis that are as local that people would love to go see, and out-of-towners would be dying to come to see and stay in those hotels.
Well, here's some place that doesn't even remotely compare to us in the grand scheme of things, and that's New Orleans, Louisiana. When you think about New Orleans, they have the French Quarter. They've had a couple of hundred years of establishment that the French Quarter is an entertainment district. It's a place to go. It's got interesting shops and bars and a lot of history, and people, it's a destination location. Everybody wants to go to the French Quarter. Just less than 300 or 400 yards away from the French Quarter is the riverfront, and just down from the Museum of World War II, which is an excellent,
unbelievable place. That's right.
Is the New Orleans Convention Center right along the Mississippi River, and just a fantastic location that is huge, big enough to have the HAI, the Helicopter Association International Convention, there on a rotating basis about every 5 years. And, you know, they literally have helicopters from all over the country fly in, land in the parking lot, and they roll them inside, and they have the latest and greatest models in attendance. But for the most part, it's dead. Conventions just don't think of going to New Orleans to have the, you know, the Journal of American Medical Association International Symposium and Convention just doesn't think of going to New Orleans. They go to Atlanta or Miami or Baltimore or some huge draw where it's more than just one place like the French Quarter. Now, you compare that to Jacksonville, we have nothing. We have nothing. And
we don't have a hotel near the quote-unquote convention center,
right,
which never was built. I mean, it wasn't built as that. It was a train station.
Exactly. And the thoughts are now that they'll build the convention center downtown where the old courthouse and the city hall annex is, and then they'll turn, believe it or not, as stupid as it sounds, the old Union Terminal will thrive again and become the new Amtrak station, and they will use those spur lines to drive Amtrak. So we basically spun our wheels for 35, 40 years, and now we're right back to where we started from, or we're proposing to be right back to where we started from, 40 years later. It's silly, the amount of money that we spend on harebrained ideas that ultimately we have to recant and recapture, only to turn those facilities and those places back into what they were originally designed to be.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah, kind of like that.
I think that, you know, this is one of those things, and I think sometimes we don't think globally downtown. You know, we think this is a great idea. I think I'd like to see an absolute master plan that, you know, this is what our plan is, and it will be adjusted, you know, depending on the time and the time it takes to do various things.
But even with a master plan, we still even with a master plan, people still come in and tweak it at the wrong time or change it completely. And so what's good about having a master plan if they're going to change it completely? Let's go to the phones. We've got some folks waiting. Let's go to Mark on line one. Mark, good evening and welcome to the show.
Hey, real quick. This wasn't my main topic, but we don't need a convention center with Orlando, you know, 10 air minutes away. I had a girlfriend just a few years ago who was responsible for scheduling conventions in Atlanta, and she said, you know, Jacksonville, no one plans to go to a convention in Jacksonville, maybe locally, but to even waste time and money and effort on getting people to come to Jacksonville again, when Orlando, with its 200,000 bed convention center just down the road, is just absurd to the max. What I wanted to talk about, though, was a couple things. I want to know, I'm absolutely sure somewhere that there's going to be some sort of city incentive that we promised the redevelopers of the Berkman II Plaza. I can't imagine that there wouldn't be. Also, you know, I noticed in the paper they talked about, and I've heard this before, where the developer doesn't have to come out and say and announce publicly who they are or what they're bidding on or any details of the bid whatsoever, because it puts them somehow at a disadvantage versus other companies that might want to do the same. I think that's bad for taxpayers. I think we should know up front who they are and what they're offering and if they're going to ask for tax incentives and all that kind of thing.
I agree with you 100%, Mark. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the next segment. Where's the transparency issue here? We talk about the administration wants to be more transparent. We had Anna Brochet basically dragging them, kicking them, screaming to the transparency table. And now we've got developers who can hide and not publicly expose who they are. How do we know that it's not one of the original five families that basically run this city just coming up with new corporate names to be involved in the development of our town and receive millions in tax incentives and development incentives, hence Stash Investments and some of the other companies that are belonging to our illustrious leader?
You ask a lot of questions. We have like 10 seconds.
We'll be right
Five
back.
5 seconds.
You can step up to luxury now.
Hello, I'm Dan Fields of Fields Auto Group. Whatever you're driving, see Fields first and step up to luxury at Mercedes-Benz of Jacksonville and Mercedes-Benz of Orange Park.
And now you can lease a new 2018 Mercedes-Benz C300 for only $369 per month for 36 months.
Like a family that's been here for a long time, makes a difference. Where I do my business, I want to be appreciated. It's conveyed here.
Make 2018 your year to step up to luxury at Mercedes-Benz of Jacksonville on Atlantic Boulevard and Mercedes-Benz of Orange Park on Blanding Boulevard. Or you can see Fields first at MercedesBenzOfJacksonville.com and MercedesBenzOfOrangePark.com.
The staff has gone up and beyond my expectations, especially when you come in to get your car serviced. It's a neat experience for me.
Available to qualified lessees. 4217 due at signing, plus title, tax license, and $695 doc fee. MSRP 42495. For details, call 1-800-4-MERCEDES. Offer ends 7/31/18.
Jennifer Candelino for Snyder Air Conditioning. Should you repair or replace your air conditioning system? It's a question that our customers ask us every day. So Snyderman has put together a short quiz to help you make your own decision. Just log on to SnyderAC.com, take the short quiz, and decide for yourself. Repair or replace? Your answer will become very clear. And our repair or replace quiz is easy. Simply log on to SnyderAC.com and answer the 5 short questions. There's a reason that Snyder Air Conditioning has been Jacksonville's leading air conditioning company for over 40 years, with the highest quality products and only honest and reliable workmanship. Every Snyder technician has been certified and professionally trained and committed to 100% customer satisfaction. At Snyder, they know you expect your comfort needs to be fixed right the first time. So log on to SnyderAC.com today and take the short quiz, repair or replace. Call Snyderman today at 641-0600. License number CAC 181-3307.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Are you still talking? Even though the light is coming on, you're still talking.
I need my glasses.
Do me a favor. Pull that mic down to where it's more straight in line with you. You can bend it. There you go.
I'm a straight guy, so that makes sense.
There you go. That's perfect. All right. Now you don't have to lean. So it looks so uncomfortable when you're sitting like that.
I'm a tall guy.
Okay. All right. So anyway, going into the break, we were talking about the Berkman. And so are you aware of how many thousands of dollars in tax incentives that they've given out to this developer to develop this supposed entertainment hotel?
First of all, we are always informed, as the community is informed, on the tax incentives we do. What they do, what we do, all that is done. Sometimes the ultimate buyer is not truly identified because they might be moving. Let's say you're a GE.
Okay, hang on just a second. We can go down that road, but let's start on this path.
The answer is I have not seen anything other than it has been sold, and I believe what I understood through the grapevine was it's a company out of Biloxi that has a hotel there that has some entertainment.
But there's no dollar count on how much we bribe them to come here?
No.
When can we get that figure?
When obviously they bought it, and now I would suspect within 60, 90 days they'll do something.
But when are we going to find out how much the city offered to give them a break?
When,
when they come to the city and it works through DIA, DIA is the first place that they would have to go to, and then it comes to the city and it goes to the mayor and goes to finance committee and then goes to city council.
I guess the next question that I was going to ask is, does anybody ever come to this town and develop something without looking for a handout?
Yes.
And the stupid answer to that question is no, because if they know it's available, why not take advantage of free money?
Well, let's back on the district. This is the Peter Rummels deal. He got a lot of incentives to go there. There's an apartment complex that's being built on the, I guess, west side of the school board. They didn't ask for any incentives.
Well, shouldn't that be the standard?
Well, I didn't vote for the district giving all that money to them. I didn't think that was appropriate.
Well, that trips my trigger with respect to the fact that we have five or six families in this town that pull the strings, and they pull the strings based on the checks that they write for elections.
You can't even
rebut that. You know that's true.
I think that you're incorrect. Does the mayor have friends and they seem to be successful in Jacksonville? The answer is correct. But understand that when you go to other towns, let's pick Nashville. I have a friend that actually has been in the epicenter of
now
what's going on.
Now I know he's lying. He said he has a friend.
Yes, so true. And one of the unique things about Nashville, they're sort of like Jacksonville. They're a consolidated government. And they have, because they didn't do what we didn't do either. We didn't pare down. When they merged, they didn't pare down anybody because that takes leadership. So we got stuck with 19 because, you know, 50 years ago, October 5th will be 50 years of consolidation. I think we don't need, my belief is we need 11 people on the council. Now, I've said this publicly. But that means that I have to get some of my colleagues will not be able to be there. So,
but there's an opportunity for that in 2021 when redistricting comes up.
You could
change the charter and get rid of the five at large seats.
Right.
And then redo the districts to include only 11 standing districts.
Right. You could. But it takes leadership and you need votes. So let's go back to Nashville. So they have 40 people on their council. You know, it's the only place worse is probably New York City. My point is this. He describes what's happening in Asheville, and you might not like Rick Scott, but HCA started there, and from there, and if you splinter out all the different companies that have splintered off from various companies, you know, down the road, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, there's 1,000 other companies that exist. And in that world, there's 4 billionaires and probably lots of people that have $100 million. And when they want to do something great for the city, they all get together, and that's right. They consolidate and say, this is really what's great for the city. And they have really dynamically changed the image of Nashville.
And I agree with you 100%. I've mentioned that on the show before. Indianapolis, Indiana is the same way. There are 5 multi-billionaires that live in Indianapolis.
Plus you have the Eli Lilly,
right,
which is a big-time company.
And they all want a piece of being able to say, I changed Indianapolis. I helped my community. I brought this here. I brought that here. What we have in Jacksonville is we have one big billionaire and then a bunch of little wannabes. And the little wannabes have been here since the Confederacy just about, or at least their families have been. And they still think that their $10 million here, $100 million there, $50 million here really makes that much of a difference. And unfortunately, because of the way our elections run and the very low voter turnout that we get on a regular basis, their little pittance does actually make a difference.
First of all, no one gives me money unless they – you got two ways to get money. Number one, they love your ideas. And sometimes, even though they love your ideas and they don't give you a chance to run, they'll still give you money because you're a good guy. Because they are truly looking at elevating the people that represent them in the city. I don't think that they're looking at the administration and saying, "Hey, you're going to vote this way, aren't you?" They never. Whenever I've asked to someone, "Hey, listen, this is my ideas," I don't think they've ever said, "Are you going to vote this way, that way?"
Except for me. Except for me when I ask you about the runway extension.
Well, I know. That, you know what we should do with that one? We should go to George Hodges and say, hey, can we take over that runway? It's ready to go. And just go out there. And quit dealing with the people that 25, 30 years ago said no. And part of the reason is your friend, JC, that has prevented an honest discussion about expansion.
I'm insulted. I'm truly insulted by the fact that you use that friend word in a very condescending way.
No, I didn't say I didn't say it's condescending. I said your friend, JC. I didn't say his name. That's not inappropriate.
John Crescenbeny. There. It's inappropriate. I said it. And yes, he has been a blockade.
He has. And he's been representing.
And he doesn't hide behind the fact that he's a blockade because he lives in Hidden Hills.
And he also was district. And this is the problem with elected officials. What was said 25 years ago might not exist. If that were the case, taxis would still be the dinosaur that they are.
Right.
The world is moving faster than elected officials. And it goes back to my position on term limits.
Tell that to Al Farrar. Al Farrar lives out there. He is a representative in that district. And he's jumped on the No Craig extension bandwagon because
apparently he hasn't been convinced that it's a fight worth fighting.
No. He's convinced that if he does fight that fight, that his coffers for reelection will dry up.
I don't believe that, but I think that what he does see is JC being an impediment to getting it done. And he is not as well known as JC and the other elected officials. And that includes somebody's running for tax collector, somebody in the state representative that's over there. They all are against it. Period.
They're against it because it means votes. When I wish
there are many times
your term limited out. Your right. term limited out. And I wish that at some point in time, for the furtherment of our friendship, you would at least come clean at some point and say, you know what, Bill, you're absolutely right. Getting elected is not about serving the people. It's about the power that comes with it. And then once I'm elected, it's about getting reelected. If you could come, you know,
I don't think there's a time that I looked at the vote and said this was going to hurt me one way or the other. If that's the case, it was a no-brainer to vote for the HRO because the people, half the people in Mandarin that probably voted would not have wanted that vote for me. But I said, no, I'm not going to do it, mostly because I don't like government regulation. And my belief on that was, if you can't follow the simple 10 rules that God sent down on the 10 commandments, what makes you think that putting a regulation that says be kind and gentle and love one another is going to make a difference?
Because it's the hook that brings in that segment, that ever-growing, ever-increasing segment of our community, the homosexual community. It brings that into the voting booth.
Hey, by
and knowing that they're out there, you support them or you support their cause, gets you more votes.
And you know what? Why don't you Google income for the gay and lesbian group? And you know what? Their average income is higher than the average income of heterosexual couples.
You know what? And so were the money changers in the temple. Their income was a lot higher than Jewish carpenter who came in and turned over all the tables.
I know.
Anyway. So
I'm just making a comment. My point was they're not being discriminated against, and you could always find five people in our society that are so disruptive that you can't do anything about, and laws aren't going to change their opinion.
I found five of those people on the city council just with respect to one issue, and that is making Craig Airport more vibrant and safer and quieter.
Right.
But they refused to listen to it. So we're going to travel.
Those five.
We're going to travel forward in time. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. We'll be right back. Join us.